Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels on a rainy Thursday here in New York City. Hope it's brighter wherever you're checking in from. The Packers, a little over 2 weeks away from being on the clock with their first round pick. And lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for the first time ever, you can hang out live in person with a co-founding member of Cheesehead TV during the first round of the draft. That's right. Corey Behnke is going to be having a soiree there in downtown Green Bay. Packers fans are encouraged to check it out. If you're in the area that whole first night down at Stage One's Lyric Room, starting at 7 p.m., all sorts of goodness on offer. Carry the G specials. We're going to have a local artist doing a artistic piece while we wait for the Packers to draft, and you'll be part of the Packers coverage that we're doing at Cheesehead TV as part of our live stream. So I hope you'll check that out. First night of the draft, first time we've ever done it. We've always talked about doing something like this, and hopefully this gets off on a good foot and we can kind of make it grow here these next couple of years. Like I said, Corey and I have always wanted to do some kind of in-person event for the draft, and hopefully this will be the start of something big. So hope to see you guys there, or at least Corey does. I'll be here in New York. I'll be in the studio manning or guiding the audience through our live stream as we wait the many hours for the Packers to be on the clock and potentially pick a safety. Now, I know that's probably not going to happen in round one. I think they will pick a safety at some point in this draft. But, you know, I got reminded of something earlier today on Twitter when Ross Uglum, I thought, had a really kind of excellent thought exercise when he tweeted out something regarding Anthony Johnson Jr. And he wondered, you know, what would the perception be if Anthony Johnson Jr. had been picked, say, in the middle of the draft last year and then gone on and had the exact same, you know, rookie season that he had? Would the perception be different just because the investment would be different, right? Probably. I would think, and this is what I responded to Ross, that I think it wouldn't feel as such a pressing need, right? Because you did just make this investment and you expect this man, this prospect, to grow and continue to develop. But he was pretty darn inconsistent last year. And I know he, you know, was late to the safety position in college, and he was asked to do very different things in the college game than he was once he got to the pros, once he got into Joe Barry's defense. And I do see the promise there. I do see the upside. You certainly can, you know, peruse the tape and find plenty that kind of showcases what the Packers liked about him when they drafted him. But I do think, you know, the inconsistency is also as glaring on that tape. And that's not just from week to week. That's from series to series almost at times. And, you know, that is not to dismiss the possibility. And this is something that this whole exercise kind of reminded me of. Not to dismiss the possibility that, yes, there could be a very significant jump in his game from year one to year two. A lot of that, of course, is down to him and what kind of work he is doing this offseason, how much he is getting after it, both in the gym and in the playbook, you know? And that's not to say that guys can't have lives. I'm not saying that at all. Of course, yes, go do your thing in the offseason. It's your time. The union fought for your time away from the facility, and now you've got it. Like, bon chance, gentlemen. But I do also know that the guys who are getting after it day after day, very much kind of treating it like a profession, they're the ones who tend to make that jump from year one to year two, or to see yearly growth, yearly development throughout their, you know, NFL career. So as much as I'm excited about the possibility of Anthony Johnson Jr. making a jump, and I sure hope he does, I still think the Packers will undoubtedly be looking for safety help in this draft, just for no other reason than to bring in competition, something that Brian talked a lot about this offseason, getting competition in each and every room. And right now, the safety position, that safety room, it's pretty, I'm not going to say threadbare, but, you know, the shelves are maybe in some need of replenishing. So it's good stuff. I really like that kind of thought exercise from Ross. I thought that was fun stuff here in the depths of the offseason as we wait for the draft to get here. Can you believe we still got to wait, what, a couple more weeks for this damn thing? NFL should hold the draft, like, you know, mid-May. That's when or mid-March, sorry. They tried to hold it in mid-May back in the day. Mid-March, that's when it should be. Like right in the middle of March Madness, that's when it should be. But of course, we have to sit here for two more freaking weeks to deal with this nonsense. Hello, everybody in the comment section. So good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Ryan starting us off with what's up, man? With 2 weeks to go until the NFL draft, has anyone figured out how many days there are until the 2025 NFL draft? Ryan, you're killing me. I'll bet guys like Dane Brugler or Matt Miller probably know. Myself, man, I'm just trying to get through three days of this year's draft. Joey, what's going on, man? Random Packer, Gerard DeBeer. Now that was an excellent pull. Excellent pull. Short-lived Packers career, but, you know, with a last name like DeBeer, you are a Packers legend forever. No question about it. Craig, thanks for the super chat, man. Nags, finally got my Insufferable Era hoodie. Love it. Nice and warm, and it confuses my friends. Win-win. Great interview of the mayor. Oh, thanks so much. And Craig, I'm going to tell you, I'm really happy you got it, because if you'll notice, if you go to the Cheesehead TV store now, you'll find that it's not there. It's not available anymore because your favorite team, the Green Bay Packers, took exception to it. And in the interest of playing nice, we took it down. But that design, along with like six or seven others. So always fun, always a good time when dealing with the behemoth, the juggernaut that is the Green Bay Packers. You know, I do love that they make the argument that, oh, well, it uses our jersey. Does it though? It uses a jersey. And you don't own colors. So, interesting. Now, you own color combinations. You own certain colors when they're put together. We didn't use the official Green Bay colors for that exact reason. But, you know, like I said, trying to play nice. So, hey, congratulations. You got what essentially now is a collector's item. Brother Love, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. Random Packer, William Aflis. Got to admit, that's a stumper for me. It's a good one. Nags, any NFL players in international player pathway program from South America? What a PR coup that could be if signed by the PAC. Well, they would be assigned by the NFL if that were to be the case. Not that I know of. As far as the international pathway, I know they have representatives from Europe and Africa. I don't know about South America, though. But yes, that would be an amazing kind of synergy, right? Maybe the NFL should look into that. It'd be kind of great. Jeff, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Random Packer, he is the last QB to wear number 4 before Favre, and the number subsequently retired. It was Chuck Fusina. Yes, he is from Penn State. Of course he is, Jeff. Jeff, we've been missing you on Happy Hour. Where have you been, man? And yes, I remember I only know that because when we were doing Packers trivia there, a couple of for those off seasons we did it, I had to look up so much trivia stuff that like now I'm kind of seeped in it, right? And Fusina was the last one to wear 4. It's like today when the Packers announced that Gordon Red Batty is retiring. I already knew before reading in their piece that he is the only, I think he purports to be, and I'm pretty sure someone has checked this at some point, but the only Canadian-born citizen with 2 Grey Cup rings and 2 Lombardi rings, Super Bowl rings. So shout out Red Batty on an amazing 30-year career in Green Bay. Guy's an absolute legend. I put it up on a short here on the YouTube channel. If you've ever been to training camp, you have seen this man work his ass off each and every day of the summer for the last 30 years. In between drills, pulling sleds, moving bags, doing everything necessary to get the guys ready for each drill. And hey, that's just the training camp stuff. Jarius Wynn retweeted me today about how great Red was at the gig and making sure they had everything they needed to do their job. I know he is revered inside 1265 Lombardi. No question about it. Oh, we got a bunch of super chats here. Where are we going? Okay, here we go. Charlie, what's up, man? Why do I feel like Jacobs is a downgrade from 33? I don't know why you would think that, dude. Look, no bigger fan on this earth of Aaron Jones than myself, but Jacobs is a dog, man. Like, do not get it twisted. Like, I understand Aaron Jones, not only what he did on the field, incredible running back, incredible talent, absolute dog. But we also know everything that Aaron did off the field, what he meant off the field, how he represented the organization. So all of that is kind of impacted inside of us as fans, right? But don't think for a second that Jacobs is lesser than on the field. Now, I can't speak to how he's going to represent the Packers off the field, what kind of teammate he's going to be, what effect he might have in the locker room. I can't say any of that. But I can tell you right now, playing football, there's no downgrade there. There's maybe a difference of style, no question about it. He's in a very different type of back. But my guy, Jacobs, he's gonna make you understand some things, apparently. And what I'm trying to tell you is he's really fucking good. Really good. Joe, what's up, man? 14 days until the NFL draft. 14 days more than necessary. Random Packer, Dave Pufuroy. I'm sure I destroyed that name. Sean, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Booked my flight from Scotland to Sao Paulo. Can't wait for the festivities. Is safety more a position for knowledge and feel rather than a high RAS profiles? That's an interesting question, Sean. More a position for knowledge and feel. I think it kind of depends what you're asking them to do. I think old school wise, you could probably say that would have been the case as far as like the traditional strong versus free safety. You probably want at least one guy who is one thing and another guy who is the other. But in the modern NFL, the defenses that are being run today, especially stuff we've already heard from Halfley as far as what he's looking for, you want guys who are athletic out the gym. Like, you want guys who can, you know, cover ground, make space disappear, work sideline to sideline. And I understand, like, you know, McKinney is there going to be their quote post safety, the guy up top, deep third, etc., who's going to be coming downhill a lot of the times or working to the boundary. But you're going to have guys that can do a little bit of everything, simply because you want to make sure that the offensive coordinator can't just tee off, doesn't get tells every time you line up and, oh, that's where that safety is, so I know this is what they want to do. You know, you got to have some kind of interchangeability. I think, yes, you can bank on knowledge, etc. I mean, the Packers did that when they signed Eugene Robinson back in the day. You know, they wanted a vet to pair and put in that mix, and it served them very well. But again, the defense was played very differently in those days. And whereas now, man, you got to have athletes back there. And it's interesting to see how, you know, the great safety purge almost this offseason from so many teams shedding so many vets kind of speaks to this, right? Like, you need young guys. You need some athletes. You need guys who are able to see ball, get ball, who are able to cover ground. It's a young man's game. And that is proving more and more true each and every year. Brother Love, what's up? William Aftis later wrestled in the 70s under the name of Dick the Bruiser. Dick the Bruiser. What a handle. Mike, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, hear any OJ jokes today? Oh, no. Mike, I better not regret reading the rest of the super chat. Where were you when the Bronco chase happened? I was watching the NBA Finals and breaking news came on TV. I got asked this today on the old Twitter machine. Yes, I was in Oshkosh, working at the Ralph Lauren outlet store, and I was glued to the coverage in the back stock room because I was, you know, part of the stock team. And yeah, that's where I was. It was had me thinking today, like, how many times have we heard, like, oh, what would Twitter be like on this day? Like, you know, when the space shuttle blew up or other events throughout history. And then, you know, what Twitter would have been like during the Bronco chase kind of makes my mind melt because it would have been incredible. But yes, I was working at Ralph Lauren. Good times, man. What a blast from the past. Jeff, thanks again, man. Oh, gosh. You're going to try and make me read Portuguese, which I am not going to do. That is Portuguese for looks like a hamstring, Aaron. Too soon? Why I got to go there? I enjoyed Brandy yesterday. I think you missed this, Jeff, asking how to say tackle somebody in Portuguese. That I can get behind. But let's not be projecting injuries. Paul, how are you, man? Will we ever see full-time refs? Random Packer, Devon House. Shout out to Von Hels, Packer legend. Full-time refs, maybe eventually, probably when my grandkids are born, but I don't think anytime soon. Those cheapskate owners, they want to keep it on the cheap as long as possible. John, what's up, man? When I was 7, I thought OJ was innocent. Bad take. Oh, man. I'm not touching that. Cheesehead, what's going on, man? Mid-round safety target for Green Bay to keep an eye on. Cole Bishop from Utah. Great box safety. Will come in and stop the run. Would work well with Xavier. Joey, yes, I think. Did I just see somebody tweeted out something about Cole Bishop earlier? I think it was Zach Cruz. I mean, I'm on board with that, man. I love this idea. I like him. I like the kid from Oregon too, or is it Oregon State? One of the Oregon schools. He's pretty good too. Charlie, what's up? Do you see the Packers drafting 91's replacement? Yeah, I mean, don't you think they kind of did last year with Lucas Van Ness? I mean, that's part of the idea, right? They used to do that all the time under Ted, as far as go look and see whose contract is up the following year. You can bet at some point, probably in the first two rounds, they'll draft his replacement. And Lucas Van Ness kind of fits that bill. I'm not saying it's a direct, you know, line of, okay, you know, Preston will be out the door and insert Lucas here, because Lucas has got to do the work. But that's kind of the idea, right? Much like when they signed both Smiths and still drafted Gary. Like, you know, I want to keep a guy in the pipeline, bring him along, hence draft and develop. Obviously, I think Van Ness probably played a little bit more down the stretch last year, helped his development, got him in the groove a little bit more of the NFL game. Now they're going to be switching schemes, and we'll see how he fits and how much he and Smith and the others rotate. But I don't think for a moment that, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, I don't think for a moment that Edge is off the board early. If there's someone there that makes sense value-wise, like there's a guy who's rated way higher at his position than anybody else on offer, as far as, like, say they have an edge, a tackle, and a safety, but the edge is rated way higher on their board. Yeah, no, I don't think there's a moment of hesitation, and I think they take the edge. You know, you want to collect talent. You want to collect great players. That's the whole point. Get guys with huge upside, great possibility of becoming long-term fixtures in your program. Wouldn't doubt it for a second. What else we got here? Craig, thanks, man. Who is the Angel Hernandez of NFL refs and why? Well, for the longest time, it was Jeff Triplett, but thankfully he retired, or at least he stopped reffing. I think he's still involved somehow with the ref union or something. But currently, yeah, I don't know. That's a good one, man. I don't know. Ron Torbert? Is that the right one? I think that he's in the running. He's in the conversation. You know, I hate to say it because his dad was good, but Hockley, son of Hockley, he's pretty damn terrible. He's a guy who makes it all about himself, much like Angel Hernandez does, and then wastes your time telling you all about it. I mean, I don't need a dissertation every time you make a call, bruh. This is the worst, man. What else we got here, folks? Hey, Nags, is there anyone you know to ask in Brazil about the field the Packers will play on, since we can't count on good old Roger G? Remember the Mexico and Canada games? Will they be safe? Gary, I know this will be a topic of discussion. And yes, remember the debacle in Mexico. I mean, that was horrific. That stadium, that the surface was just unplayable. You know, I do not doubt for a moment that the Packers and the union will be, you know, having robust discussions about it. I'll do what I can to find out, but I'm sure, you know, no one's going to be anxious to talk about it, would be my guess. But maybe we'll have some kind of discussion in public because of the fact that, look, the World Cup is coming to America. And when that happens, you know, there are a handful of football stadiums that are going to be putting down natural grass surfaces because they have to, you know, in order to fall in line with FIFA's regulations, you know? So makes me wonder, like, what conversations have been had with the NFL and the hosts about what they're going to be playing on, right? definitely something to think about. Nags, did anything unique happen when the Packers played their game in Japan? It's a good question. I can't remember anything like crazy. I remember being up to watch it, and I remember watching Brett Favre on the sideline goofing around. But yeah, I don't remember anything too kind of sensational, you know, happening. I remember it was a big deal. They were in Japan, and it was a preseason game, and that and all that entails. What's up, man? Under oath, Joey. I like that. Random Packer, Tyler Goodson. Well, yeah, Tyler Goodson. Isn't he? He was with the Colts there for a bit, wasn't he? I was so high on him when they drafted him. Thought he was Jones' replacement. Bought a bunch of signed cards. I think they're worthless now after that Colts blunder. Yeah, that was tough. That's right. That was at the end of the season, wasn't it? That was the last game. That was, Oh, yeah, that's tough. Who knows? But hey now. Don't dream it's over. People love a good comeback story. People love a reclamation project. I'd keep those cards. Never know what might happen. Maybe not with the Colts, but maybe someplace else. He gets an opportunity and he balls out. You never know. I'm rooting for him. How much is a ha-ha Clinton Dix jersey worth? More to some than to others. That's all I'll say about that. Next. Oh, I got that one. Are you going to bring Carry the G to Brazil? What's funny is this is probably the question I have been getting the most since the announcement. Yeah, not for any kind of retail purposes, but will a can or two perhaps, perchance, make its way down there? Probably. Cheesehead Joey, what's up, man? What's BJ Raji up to nowadays? I'll tell you what he's up to. Getting mentioned on Packers Daily. That's what he's up to. Outside of that, I can't say. How much is a Paul Kaufman jersey worth? A lot. Now that I can tell you. A whole lot. All right, I got to get going. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, and then pick yourself up the Cheesehead TV draft guide. The link to do so is in the description of this video. Get on it, people. You got 2 weeks to bone up and know all there is to know about each and every one of these prospects from a Packers point of view. 14th annual Cheesehead TV draft guide. Crazy. Pick it up, folks. Like I said, link in the description of the video. Thanks a lot, everybody. Hope you have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow. Go Pack, go.